All right, this is still going into, it's been pretty bad, right? That you're going to tell
me
what happened. Yeah,
Jeremy
is pretty bad. But all right, either way, it says like this. Hama Usma says Yehuda, Bitzion, Gualan, Apshekel. Have you completely despised Yehuda? Has your soul completely despised Zion? Madua Hikisanu, why have you hit us so badly in Little Marpe and not given us any cure? Kavila Shalom in Tov, we hoped for peace, but there's nothing good. Well, Ismar Pavin, but also I hope for a time of healing, right? But all we have is terror, and that's that. How are we supposed to, you know, our nation, how in the world are we supposed to bear the increased burden of the gullus, and how is it going to be? So here's the idea. The Psikta, again, gives a mushel. A king had a wife whom he loved very much. However, seeing how beloved she was in the king's eyes, the queen had the habit of flouting his desires and acting against his wishes. One time, she went too far. The king, in his rage, then ordered the servants to drag her by the hair the length of the palace floor. A friend of the queen who witnessed the scene approached the king and said, "Your Majesty, if you have intentions of making up with the queen, you should curb your temper and go easy on her so that it will be easier to work out a reconcilement. If not, then you ought to divorce her so that she can leave you and marry somebody else." That was the idea of what Yirmiyahu was trying to say over here. Kadosh Baruch Hu, listen, if you've rejected Bnei Yisrael and you're just dragging them through the dust.
No, that's not allowed.
What do you mean?
If a king gets divorced from a woman, she can't marry anybody else.
I'm not saying Jewish law. I'm saying the mashal. Right? So if Kadosh Baruch Hu was rejected Bnei Yisrael. I don't know. Is it?
I feel like that's not a halacha, is it? That a king's wife can't. It was like a practice of the times that if somebody was with the king can't be with anybody.
Wait, no, that is a halacha. Shevet. Yeah, you can't touch the shevet. The shevet of the king cannot be touched by others.
That's why, what's her name? Couldn't be.
Abishag.
She didn't even sleep with her.
Yeah, I don't know about other nations. I don't know if that's true by other nations. I would assume it's by Svara that nobody wants to marry the queen, the ex queen, because of whatever reasons. But.
A lot of baggage.
Yeah. I mean, the only kings and queens of the United States.
It's a lot of baggage.
The only kings and queens that we actually know about, you know, that I'm saying that we know historically that we're familiar with is England. And in England, you couldn't divorce, right? So you
well,
don't have this type of situation, right?
No, but
somebody married.
You know,
Marie Antoinette. That's her name, right?
Marie Antoinette is in France.
Also, who's the girl? Who's the woman?
Anna Boleyn.
Anna Boleyn.
She had a pet shop. Doctor, you give sons.
That wasn't
her. Who was the editor?
Divorced?
One of the wives was. I don't remember.
All I know is there was the queen. What's her name?
I don't know.
Isn't Catherine from Russia?
Anyway, yeah, she was. She was from the Tsar. Yeah.
She has some crazy stories.
Anyway, Yirmiyahu's argument is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was rejected Bnei Yisrael, listen, just forego punishing them and allow them, you know, and relinquish them from being, you know, from being his chosen people. If not, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Bnei Yisrael to reunite with them, then why punish them so severely? They're not going to come back to you if you keep acting that way. That's the idea of what he was trying to say. What do you mean?
That God has no interest in rejecting them completely.
Yeah.
But they've gone off the path so much that he has to punish.
He has no choice.
An eye for an eye.
Commentary.
In order to make some kind of punishment. Yeah. Yeah. It's
commentary coming from the
right. No, it's usually Ruvan, right there. I don't hear you say
that.
That's only for you.
So I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's more. Yirmiyahu's line is just don't punish them so harshly. Extend the punishment a little bit further so it doesn't have to be so harsh at once. Right? Don't do it this way. You want to punish the queen? Fine. Punish her little by little by little, but don't drag her by her hair through the palace. That's what he's trying to say. But you're right. Kadosh Baruch Hu's saying that's the only thing that works. Nothing's going
to
work. Yes, in a way. Saying, I don't understand how that works. Yadanu Hashem Rishenu, we know that we're wicked. Abon Avosenu, and the sins of our fathers as well. We've sinned against you. We realize that. Don't revile us. And that really means don't make us disgusting. For the sake of your holy name. Desecrate. The Kizak of the core, Alta Fair Briskly, Tanu. Remember everything. Do not violate your bris that you gave to us. He said three things over here, three reasons for saving Bnei Yisrael. Number one, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, so that there is no Chil Hashem that is caused. Number three, because of the bris that you originally made with the Avos. Is there any among all the Hawa gods of the other nations? Is there any that has the ability to give rain? Is there any of the heavens that know how to give showers? You are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavala, we hope to you, you're the one who is the only ability to be able to do any of this, you know, any of these powers or anything like
that. By the way, how is that even a reasonable argument?
Which
meaning
one?
That he has to keep the covenant, considering the Jews broke the covenant. I mean, if we we broke the deal, so why does Hashem have to keep his
end? He put us in an impossible situation where it was impossible for us to keep the bris. In other words, with our physical bodies and the physical boundaries that we have and our limitations of our knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the taivas that surround us, we have limitations and we are not given anything extra to be able to help us, or at least that we recognize. You can't expect us to be perfect, and you know we're not going to be perfect. Adam ein tzadik baretz asher yaseh tov lo yechtas shlom lo, and you know that. So how do you expect us to be good? And once you start going off, you know what's going to happen at Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, so to speak, we know we can't keep this bris, not the way it is right now. But you can, and your part of the deal has to be upheld, even if we can't keep ours. That's the deal behind it.
Somebody has to be the bigger person in every situation.
Yeah. So it's been that you have to be a parent. If you're going to be a parent, then be a parent.
I see that in the fine print.
Yeah, I don't have to say the other
one. Do you want the one Hashem to keep the...
I'm just saying, like, Hashem might have maybe missed a couple lines in there when he was signing off.
Tarek Tetzvot, by Yom Hashem Eli, I just don't want you to be burned, okay? Yom Hashem Eli. Hashem said to me, get away from him again. Hashem said to me, Im Yamud Moshe Ushmul Lefanai, even if Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel were in front of me, Ein Nafshi Ala Om Hazeh, I still don't really want these people. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. Shalom Me'al Panavi Yetzeyu, send them away from me. Let them leave completely. It's really unbelievable, okay? Now, the shot is that why Moshe and Shmuel? Why specifically Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel? Now, although there were others like this, okay, Moshe and Shmuel represent, exactly. Moshe Rabbeinu went to fight over for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Bnei Yisrael against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Shmuel and Avi as well, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was by the Igla Zav. Shmuel was by the Baal, right? And when it happened like that,
also,
there are...
The other times, Moshe did it by the Meraglim. Moshe did it...
Moshe did it. Times,
Shmuel,
yeah.
Also by Shaul, he prayed
not to destroy Shaul, not in his lifetime, right? And then for David HaMelech as well, yeah.
I guess not Abraham.
There's no question, but Abraham didn't have the people that he was praying for. He davened for Sodom and lost, right? He didn't have the people, his own people,
yeah,
who was davening
for.
Yeah, I agree with that, but nonetheless, the fact that they davened, but nonetheless, people that, again, we're dealing with my nation, says the Kabbalah. I'm looking for my nation, right? It's my nation, and even if they were there, Moshe and Shmuel would be able to stand in front of me and tell me not to, I still don't want this people. That's what I don't want anymore. Now, there are a lot of similarities in Moshe and Shmuel. Moshe v'Aaron b'cho'anav, u'Shmuel b'korei Shmo, right? Korei l'Hashem v'hu ya'aneim. They call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He answers them, right? There is a similarity to Moshe and Shmuel. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel were the greatest of their generations. They're equal to three others who were not as great, to Yiftach, to Gidon, to Shimshon, right? They weren't as great when it came to stuff like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just looked at Yirmiyah and said, listen, you know, you're asking me to deal kindly with Bnei Yisrael. I can't. There's no, that's that. And this is really the reply. Have you thoroughly rejected all of Yehuda? Do you now despise him, Tzion? He said, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Let them get out of here. If they will ask you, where should we go? This is what Hashem is telling Yirmiyah. When the Bnei Yisrael ask you, where should we go? You say to them, call Hashem, those who will die, those who need the sword will get the sword. Those who need to die by hunger, they'll die by hunger. Those who are supposed to be in captivity, they will be sent into captivity. There are four different punishments that are mentioned over here. It all
rough, meaning die by hunger or
means
to be hungry.
By God.
Seems like a different punishment.
You know, it seems to me that it's all death, but you could be right. It sounds like they're all destined for these types of things. I think.
So, why is he saying that they should leave him when he's just going to kill? He's saying he's going to kill them all.
Well, yeah, wherever they go, they're going to die anyway. They're going to die anyway. Okay. It doesn't really make that much of a difference. That's the idea. Ufakarti aleim arba mishpachus numashem. I'm going to put upon them four different types of ravagers, so to speak. As a cherev larog, that's a klovim lisko. There's going to be the sword that kills them, and then there's going to be dogs that drag them away. The birds of the heavens and the animals of the land are then going to consume them, right? And they're going to destroy them. Now, this obviously has happened many times in our Jewish history. The Das Sofrim says that it's more horrifying when we realize that this has happened many times over. When it's atim lezavo l'kol mamlechos ha'aretz, I will make them into a horror for all the kings of the world, where everybody's going to say, at least I don't want to be like them.
Zavah is not used a lot in Tanakh.
I'm sorry?
That term zavah is not used a lot in Tanakh.
I don't know. I have no idea. But out there, Biglal Menashe, Ben Yechizkiyahu, what is he used for? In modern Hebrew?
Yeah, modern Hebrew.
What's he used for?
Yeah.
Yeah, it means like it's horrible, it's terrible.
Da'abo.
It's like an action of somebody that's horrible. It's like,
interesting. Bigwal Menash Ben Yisuskiyo, Melech Yehuda, Allah Shara, also Yerushalayim. It's all the Zva'a. That's a different. How do you, this is Da'abo, isn't it?
No, Zva'a. He's right.
Zva'a.
It's a Cree. It's I noticed that's a weird word.
Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, the Cree is Liza'ava. You see that?
No, it just says Liza'ava.
Yeah. No, the actual Ksiv is Liza'a. Is that the word? Liza'a. Liza is the title. You're saying that the word in Hebrew, same root modern Hebrew, is Liza'a?
It's in Megillas Esther from the word Za'a.
I wonder if Liza'a is like the harsher word, and Za'ava is like not as bad, and we're trying to move it down a little bit. By the way, but it's all because of Menashe. Is that scary?
Oh, yeah.
You're Menashe up in Shemayim. Menashe did Tshuva for 23 years, and nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yirmiyah way after Menashe was dead. He's like, it's all because of Menashe.
The people that he turned it away. Meaning he made a lot of other people.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah.
No, but that could be that because of his actions, all these people are sitting now.
It's just
can't
scary as anything. That you're literally, one action that you did or something that you did can cause such destruction that hundreds of years later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts all the blame on you.
That's probably the most telling. Where God's actually using him maybe as a message saying, you can do all the truth you want, you're still going to get it.
Yeah, or in some way, shape, or form. Because, look at what you did. Yeah, and as you said, so many people are affected. Who's going to pity you, Yerushalayim? Who's going to comfort you?
They grabbed onto the act, I'm assuming he's referring to the Jews.
Yeah, for sure. There's no question about that. Yeah. Who's going to turn aside to ask for you, right, for all of your peace and anything like that? And the point is that no one is going to share in our grief. There is no other nation that's going to be okay with us or make the effort to even ask us what's going on. At Natasht, you have forsaken Osinu Hashem, you've forsaken me. Akorte Lehi, you have turned away. Va'at Es Yodi Alayich, I have turned my hand upon you. Vashkiseich Nelezi Nafein, I have destroyed you and I will not be consoled. And that's bad. Va'ez Reim Vimizre Vishari Aret, I'm going to winnow them with a fork. You know, one of those, what do they call it? Pitchforks. In the gates of the land. I am bereaved. I have lost all of my people. Right? Because of their ways, right, they wouldn't return. And that's the idea behind it. And I have down over here, right, Bnei Yisrael are going to be cut off from one another. We're going to be spread out throughout the entire land. It is amazing how we have Jews everywhere. We're still somewhat connected, but nonetheless, literally in all four corners of the earth, all the way up in Siberia and, you know, Russia, all the way down to Australia, then go all the way to the other side, South Africa. Like, we're in the extremes, all the way up to northern Scotland and Ireland. We have Jews everywhere in all these different places. It is quite amazing how far we've gone, considering our numbers. Atzmuli al-Minos of Mechol. Their widows, right, have increased to me more Mechol Yamim from the sand of the seas. Hey, basically, I'm al-Ein Bachur. I brought upon them, upon the mothers, a bachor shodei batzarim, a young man to assault them in the middle of the afternoon. He palti lepisom iru bahalos. I have put upon them suddenly an entire panic, right, that went into the city itself. And that's the idea. The bachor that it refers to as King Nebuchadnezzar at the time was so young, and at noon it means no possibility of trying to find cover from him or to try to hide. He's going to get everybody there. Umlala yoledes hashiva nafcha nafsha. Right. So the woman who gave birth to seven children is going to be wretched, right? She's going to breathe her last. Her son is set while it is still in the middle of the day. She is embarrassed and she is ashamed. And everything else, the remaining ones, I'm going to give into the son, the sword of their enemies, says Hashem. So Namoli says that the seven, the woman who gave birth to seven, is Malchus Yisrael. The seven nations, the seven kingdoms that existed in Malchus Yisrael, that was Yeravam, Basha, Omri, Yehu, Menachem, Pekach, and Hoshea. No, not that. Who's the last one? Hoshea the Beri?
Shalom ben something Shalom.
it was Menachem, but what's his name? It was the last one. I don't remember who Shah is referring to. Anyway, regardless, that's the idea behind it. That they're going to give it over. Pekah Ben Roli, it was the last one. Yeah, so what's Hosha that's referring to? Anyway, that's that. Obviously, this is also a hint to what happened by Chana and her seven sons, right? Definitely, as we remember, by Chana and her seven sons, by the we don't know exactly when it happened. Let's say it was the Greeks who killed all of her seven sons, and then she herself couldn't take it anymore. She committed suicide in the middle of the day. It could be it's a reference to Yochin, who was exiled together with many of the people of Eretz Yisrael, and that's that. But there is a famous medrash that's mentioned on this pasuk. Yirmia is walking around after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed.
Moshe
Ben Ela, that's right. So on the last time she saw, Yirmia saw a woman dressed in all black, right, on a mountaintop. Her hair was disheveled, she was crying, she was moaning, who can comfort me? So Yirmia went up to her and said to her, and who can comfort me? Right? And then Yirmia looked at the woman and said, if you are a real woman, then you can speak to me. But if you're a demon, then get out of my sight. So she said, you don't know me, but I had a husband and I had seven children. One day my husband deserted me and went overseas. Before I had a chance to mourn my faith, someone came running to me and told me that my house had collapsed and all of my seven children are dead. Now I don't know for whom I should grieve. Should I be grieving for my husband who died, or my husband who deserted me, or for my seven sons that just died? It's been terrible. He said, Yirmiah said back to her, you aren't worse off than Hartzion, right, who has become a wasteland that is only fit for wild animals. To that she cried out, I am Mother Tzion. That's the famous medrash, the legend we'll call it, of what happened with Yirmiah, and said, I am the one who gave birth to the seven is wretched, based on this line over here in Yirmiah. That's the famous medrash over here. Oili imi kili ditani, woe to my mother that she gave birth to me. Ish riv, a man of strife, because that's what Yirmiah was like at the time. Everybody thought that he was just an arguing guy. The ish madon, a man of fights. The kolorets in all of the land. Lo nashisi, I have never lent. Lo nashu bi kulo, nobody has ever claimed a loan from me. Mikalalavni, yet everyone curses me. I've never not repaid a loan or done anything bad to another person. That's not what I do, and yet nonetheless, this is how I get repaid. Look at that. This is what I end up getting. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Amar Hashem, im lo sherisicha, right, letov, if I hadn't been using you for good, im lo yitgadzi b'cha b'Israel, if your foe will not come up to you at the time of evil, b'Israel es oyev, you're going to see that the enemy is going to need you in the times of pain. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yirmiah, I know you think that you shouldn't be born because of all the bad things that are happening, and you feel like people aren't listening to you. I promise you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that at the end of the day, your enemies will be running to you saying, now what do we do? Now what do we do? Hayora, hayoroa, yeah.
Is there a difference between low with and without a bus?
Yeah. I mean, normally you always obviously spell Lamed Aleph. When it's spelled Lamed Vav Aleph, there's a double meaning over here, where sometimes it can mean low is in to him, and low can also mean not. And you can read it in two different ways. So, example, right over here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in low you've got it to Bichol, right? If I had not met them up with you, or in low you've got it to Bichol, I wanted him to meet up with you. So, you could read it as a positive sense or a negative sense. But typically, we always read it in the negative sense. Hayaroa barzel barzel mitzapun nechoshes. Can iron break other iron from the north that was alloyed with copper? Is there a way for one iron to break the other? Yirmiah is going to be very, very strong. And everybody who goes up against him is not going to be able to break him. Plus, you have Gimel. I'm going to give your riches and your treasures over to be spoiled. Right? Lo b'mechir, lo b'mechir, no one's going to pay for it. And all of your sins and all throughout all of your borders. I'm going to bring all of your people over to a land that you don't know. My anger has been kindled upon them, which is going to go exactly up against them. This possibly refers to the enemies of Yirmiah, which means the very, very wealthy men of the land who had a lot of stuff. And they were going to say that it's going to go all over to the Babylonians. Dr. Hashem, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achenu Fakdeni, remember me, be mindful of me. Revenge me from my foes. Al Arachap Chatzikhani, do not take me, right, because of your long suffering. Dasa Asi Allah, careful. Know that I have suffered many insults. insults because of you, and therefore you should help me. Nitzu Dibrakhava will claim, I accepted your words, I consumed them. Your words ended up becoming a source of joy and rejoicing for my heart. Because at least you called it upon me. Listen, says Yirmiyah, I know that I'm living a crazy, terrible life, and I realize that I'm telling them crazy nevuahs. But still, I'm obviously happy to speak to you because nevuah requires one thing in order to be able to get there, and that's simcha. If I don't have simcha, I couldn't speak to you. So you see that at least I'm happy that I'm able to speak to you. And that's what Yirmiyah was saying. You see that I have a little bit of simcha. You're dying. I do not sit among the merrymakers. I do not rejoice. Because of your hand upon me, I sat on my own. I did this. Because you have filled me with wrath. You have filled me with wrath. You have filled me with all of this anger. There's no way that idea behind it. Therefore, I could not sit among them. That's what made me sad, being together with all those people, making merry and having a fun time or whatever it is. That's what made me sad. Sid Yirmiyah, I have to get away from that.
It seems that he's saying that it's the opposite. Because God is sending him on all these missions, he's alone because nobody wants to be with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's the opposite. I think that's exactly it. People didn't want to be with him. And he himself also could not
want to be with them.
Both. I think for sure. The first part is for sure true. People are like, seriously. He's like that. I don't even say it this way. They're like the Debbie Downer guy. You know, just like everybody standing around, like, Moses down, Moses down. He's like, well, this mixage is going to be destroyed next week. He's not. Jeremy was not a fun guy to be around. He was not that guy.
Are you saying that he's a party pooper?
Worse. It's not really a party pooper. He's the one that literally destroyed the party, like ate all the cake, and then
he got drunk and threw up.
Yeah, threw up all over it. You know, love you guys. Lomay kevi netzak. Why are my pains so everlasting? Makasi anusha, and my wounds so severe. Me'anehe rupe, they can't be healed. Hayosi ali kamo aksav mayim lo ne'amanu. He is to me as a failing and unfaithful source of water. In other words, our Kodesh Baruch was there. First of all, Yirmiyah finally realized he's not going to win no matter what. And number two, he says that his powers of prophecy were intermittent. In other words, I get a little bit of nevuah and then it stops. Then I get another bit of nevuah and then it stops. I'm not getting it constantly where I feel like I'm totally connected.
Is part of that because in order to get nevuah, you have to be besimcha? And since he's obviously not besimcha?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know that I'm besimcha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what he said before, because clearly I'm getting a nevuah, but I guess his simcha was not complete, and there were times where he just couldn't get it. Well, speaking of simcha, by the way, my brother finally met a baby boy. Yeah, I met a baby boy today, so the verse might be in Chicago. They don't know yet, it's so close to Pesach. So I wanted to say that out loud. Okay, Pasuk Yitzhak, Lachin Kol Ma'ashem, therefore, so says the Lord, in Toshav Hashim Cholofanai, if you return, right, to prophesy before me, then I will make you stand in front of me, right? The Bani Tolbim, Totsi Yakor Mizolel, if you're able to find the precious out of the stuff that's garbage, Kifi Tiyeh, then you will be as my mouth. They will return to you, right? You're not going to go back to them. I want to point this out. Now, again, we don't know what any of this means, and we're not into Kabbalah or anything like that. When Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see his face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to put my hand upon you as I pass by. Bafirosius Kapi, I'm going to take my hand off you, right? Bereisa Sacharai, you'll be able to see my back, right? Bufanai Lo Tzitzero, or something like that, the last wording. But you won't be able to see my front, you'll only be able to see my back. What's the line? Has it what?
I think it's
Bufanai Lo Yero. Yeah, that makes sense. Hatsirosius Kapi, I will remove my hands. The line over here is like this. Kapi is the same word as over here. In Totsi Yoker Mizolel, if you're able to take the precious out of the poor, that's a line that's said by many people, where you're able to take out from the garbage amongst you, you're able to find the beauty in things. If you're able to do that, Kapi Tiyeh, that is my hand that is removed to see the back of my whatever it is. And that's how you can find the good out of all of that.
So that's the concept behind it. The question was answered, because Moshe's question was, why do bad things happen to good people?
You only be able to see it afterward. You'll only be able to see it afterward. You'll never be able to see it before it happens. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. After something happens, then you might be able to realize the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have done this. But at the beginning, it's not there.
Yeah, but you could always ask questions on, like, you could find one reason, but that'll beg like 100 other questions why it happened in the first place.
Yeah, obviously that's there. But nonetheless, you'll find something that's sort of like a
see, but
you feel something better. Yes, without a question. Without a question. Yeah, my daughter said today that the principal of the school ended up speaking for everybody about the deaths over Shabbos in Flatbush, about the seven kids that died right in the fire. It's a crazy story. She said, you know, Deborah was able to tell me some of the details, wasn't able to tell me all of them. It's a story that happened not too long ago about a lady who ended up having a terrible, terrible thing happen to her. So her husband passed away. Then a 3-year-old passed away, and then she ended up having, like, one of her kids was having major problems with shidduchim, and the other kid was having terrible problems with parnasa, and she didn't know what to do. She had no idea what to do. She was just so terribly distraught. So she was lighting candles every Shabbos, and she used to just cry herself afterwards. She couldn't stop crying. After lighting candles, she would just think about everybody that had passed away and everything that was going wrong, and she said, like, why? Sometimes she fell asleep while she was lighting the candles, and she had a dream. And during that dream, it was like, Friday night, she had the dream, and in the dream she saw her husband, and her husband was giving a big shiur in front of all these people. At first she didn't even recognize him because her husband was not a big Talmid Chacham, but she saw him giving a massive shiur in front of all these Talmidei Chachamim, tossing it up, and after they finish, she realizes it's her husband. She goes up and she says, well, you weren't a learned man, it's not like you knew Torah, how in the world are you able to give this shiur? She said that in my previous life I was a big Talmid Chacham, a very big Talmid Chacham, and I messed up in one thing, and I had to come back as your husband in order to do this soul, you know, to be the person that I was supposed to be. She said, I mean, I understand, but I realized, she said, don't worry about anything that I have. I have the greatest kavod in Olam Haba, and everything that I'm supposed to be that I have here, and you'll be sharing it as soon as you come up to shine with me. She said, I still understand what happened to the 3-year-old child. He showed her another person who was also a massive telechachem, and said, that man was taken by the church when he was under, you know, just a baby. He was grabbed there, and until the age of 3, he was in the hands of the church. At the age of 3, somebody was able to save him and bring him to a Jewish family, and he was able to get out, and he was able to become a big Talmid Chacham, and he also gives shir up here in Shemayim. And that person, because he never had, until the age of 3, he was drinking from the milk of somebody who wasn't proper and eating food that wasn't proper, he needed to come back up until the age of 3, and that was your child. He said, why does one of my sons have no, you know, the shidduchim are going so bad? He said, the person that is set for your son is this person over here, and showed him the person that said, she's not ready yet, but she will be ready soon, and your son will be perfectly fine with the shidduchim. Why did my son not have parnasa? He said, the reason why is because something else, but I'm not allowed to tell you. And then she woke up. It's a crazy story. She said, the teacher said to my daughter, to everybody, to the whole school, she said, we have no idea. We can't answer any of these questions. We have absolutely no clue. But we have to know that there's a plan. There is a plan. And if that can help us understand a little bit, there is a plan behind this, why 7 kedoshim have to be taken, maybe that'll help us understand, and you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still running the world. We have to accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world even when it seems so difficult. It was a crazy story. But I think in a way that can somewhat help us to understand this in something. Obviously, we're never, there's no way that we can possibly, you know, get it. We're never going to fully get it.
I don't really know how that story relates to either one of the cases, the kids or this. It's a good story on its own. I'm not really sure how it answers anything up here.
Have to happen. It's not an answer to anything. It's a showing that there are ways of being able to figure out, you know, there is a plan. There is a plan behind it. Not always were we privy to it. This lady was able to be privy to it because she was in tzedekus of some sort. We're not always privy to it. So that's that. And so it's over here. We were trying to say
she
is
did
that.
Thing. She did tefillah, what's it called? Where you break through.
So we see that she was able to figure it out. So too over here, meaning you can see the back. There are times where you'll be able to see it. Will you be able to see everything? No, usually we're not zocher that, but she was able to break through. That's it. This is the sad part over here. I will make you as a fortified copper wall for this nation. They're going to wage war against you. They won't be able to fight against you. They won't be able to defeat you. I will be with you to save you and to bring you out, says the Kaddish. The problem with that copper wall analogy, which is sad for Yirmiyahu, people are going to smack it quite a bit. People are going to throw things at it. People are going to try to destroy it. It won't be destroyed, but that doesn't mean that the wall won't be hit or dented or have something happen to it.
Why copper? He didn't say iron. He didn't say stone. He didn't say
coal. I don't know. What are the properties of copper? What do you guys think
very
of
conductive.
Copper?
Well, it's very conductive. It's malleable.
It's its own element. It's not an element.
Right. I mean, there was something special about it, but I'm not exactly sure why.
I mean, it's not as good as... It's not as conductive.
Nechoshes is known for shininess, even though it's not as cautious. So maybe that's it. You will be shining back to the nation what they get. Nonetheless, they're still going to try to fight you, but they're not going to be successful at the end of the day. So maybe it's the shininess. On the outside, you'll still be shining toward them and giving giving them something of what they need, but I don't know. That's a good question.
Wait, which nation are they going to be? Hamas and Choshet?
No, this is Yirmiyah.
Yirmiyah
is going to be the Hamas and Choshet. Yeah, against the other Jews. If he's going to be the wall, there won't be
aluminum, copper.
Yeah, but I guess you don't make walls out of silver and gold. They're more malleable than
aluminum, also.
Not as strong as copper.
Well, they have aluminum then.
Copper, I guess, is the most expensive, hardest wall. Is that
but why would
it's not the iron, obviously. Yeah, iron is hard, but it's very cheap.
No, but copper is... Back then, I don't know. Back then, I'm not sure. Now, maybe, but I don't know.
I hear it. I thought iron was probably not.
It was still not.
The iron back then was like...
It was all over. Because it comes all over. So it has to be something like... It's because of the shininess. It shows itself to be more conscious than it might actually be. He tells, I'm going to save you from the evil people, but he tells me, from the palms of the tyrants, I will be able to bring you out as well. I'll redeem you from there. You won't have to worry about that. Okay. Let's go. This is a sad part also. Yirmiyah is told, do not take a wife. I don't want you to have banim or banos, sons or daughters, in this place over here. Yirmiyah is going to be righteous. He was going to be saved. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, don't get involved. All the sons and the daughters that are born in this place, all imosam ayoldos of some, and the mothers that give birth to them, and the fathers that give birth to them, and all of them to beget them in that land, this is going to be for all the people that are around there. They are going to die a grievous death. They will not be mourned. They won't be buried. They are going to be silent on the ground. They're going to be destroyed by the sword and by hunger. Their carcasses are going to be food for the birds of the heavens and for the animals of the land itself. This is why Yirmiyah was told not to marry. Can't get married because your sons, your daughters, your wives, and you will all die if that happens.
Is he at some point?
I'm sorry? He does not. No.
He never has kids.
Wait, hold on. Not true. He has to have a daughter because that's the whole thing. So he might have been married before this, or he might have been married after this. But he's telling that to the people of Anathos. While you're in this area, right? Oh, yeah. That's what it says right here. He says that Yirmiyah could have married and had children elsewhere, in Yerushalayim, for example. He just couldn't have it in Anathos. The people that were born in Anathos, the people that got married in Anathos, would not survive. I don't want you to enter any of the taverns. I don't want you to go to the house of mourning to comfort and do not lament them. I've taken away my peace from these people. All the chesed and all the rachmin. This was going to be it. I would assume that people got paid back then to be like that guy. They used to speak out and lament and do those things at certain funerals. They were the dirgers, the people that were like that. Right. So I would assume they were there. Yirmiyah was probably very good at it. A brilliant person who had a power of words. He probably was a very, very good maspid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, no more. I don't want you to give any chesed to anybody. I don't want you talking about anybody. I don't want you doing that at all.
But this is only for the city. It's not for all of Klai.
I believe it's only for Anathos. Young and old will all die in the land of Arathazos. Lo yikaviru, they'll not be buried. Lo yisbulam, there will be no hesped. Lo yisgodad, lo yikareachlam. There will not be anybody that will either gash themselves or pull their hairs out of them.
That's her anyway.
Those are things that are morning, yeah, but it just shows not even people won't even want to. They won't even want to do that because they won't feel anything. People will not break bread for them. This did happen by the Holocaust, where people either didn't know about it or they were already in the camps themselves. Nobody could mourn other people. You had no idea what happened to others. So this did happen in a time like the Holocaust, where no one could mourn other people. No one mourned for anyone.
They didn't know.
You're right. There could be that bad as well. People are going to be so far away from the rest of the city, they'll have no idea when other people died. So you do lamal evil when achamo. People are not going to break bread for the avil to console him. That's what they usually do. You know, they usually have the what's it called, the sudas habara, right? But yashku some kost tanchumim, they will not feed them or give them to drink the cup of consolation of avi valimo for the father and the mother, which is normally they used to have the 10 cups of wine, which were set up by chazal for them to drink while they're in the house of mourning. Based mishnah lo tavo. They will not go to the house of feasting, some to eat with them, right? To eat and to drink. Yirmiyah was restricted. He could not go in, couldn't be Menachem Avil, couldn't give Hespedim, couldn't even go to parties. There was nothing that he could go to. A bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, a wedding. He was not allowed to go. He is not allowed. This abstention was going to be a sign of all the calamities that are going to happen for all of Klal Yisrael.
Giving this message then, if you can't go to Parliament.
I think this was direct. I don't think the message was just why people invited Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah would reply with a little thing. It's just like, I'm sorry, God tells me not to go.
Who's inviting him at this point?
Yeah, who's inviting him?
He wasn't ready.
Remember, he still wasn't happy.
No, but he still was an happy.
And the son of the Kohen Gadol. He still was that. By the way, the one thing that he was going to allow is they were allowing him to give a bracha to the newlyweds. That he was allowed to do. So he would be there for Sheva Brachos. He would still be Sheva Brachos. Interesting call. It doesn't, I don't think he mentions verse. No, it didn't mention verse at all. I am going to get rid of in front of your eyes and during your days, it'll all be gone. Everything's going to be gone. You will never hear this whatsoever, and that's the idea behind it. When you tell over to the people all these words that you're not able to go to these weddings, these parties, or anything like that, why has HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoken this great evil against him? What is our sin? What is our chatzar that we have done against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? People are going to wonder, right? Our fathers also worshipped idols, but all of a sudden Hashem is taking it against us. Because you forsook me, says God. You went after other gods.
No, because your fathers.
You served them, you bowed down to them. You have forsaken me, and my Torah you did not keep. The line, according to Chazal, the way that we learn this in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tes, and Daf Yud Aleph, is supposed to be referring to that they did not do Berachos HaTorah. That they did not bless the Torah before they learned it. In other words, there was a lack of either Hakaras HaTov or recognition that there was something special about the Torah over anything else that they did. They treated it as a chokhmah, something that they wanted to do, whatever it was. But that was that. What's up?
No. All that for this?
That's exactly what all the Rishonim and Achronim say. And they say it was a lack of appreciation for the fact that there was a Torah. Not appreciating. And remember, guys.
It's mentioned nowhere.
Parshas Kisavo it does.
It says,
correct.
They didn't believe
in Hashem in their hearts, but they did not keep the Torah.
There's no question. That's the obvious word. The line that's given in the Gemara has to do with Birchas HaTorah, and that's it. They weren't doing it b'simcha. They did it because they had to, or they considered it just another bit of chokma. They treated it just as it would any other book, and that was the problem. That they didn't bless the Torah first before they did it. They didn't consider it worthy of a problem.
I gotta say that it seems like of all the things that we do wrong, this is pretty harsh. Hashem is being pretty harsh right now, and it seems like a little bit of an overkill. I mean, relative to other things we've done, and
he's adding on in this pasuk alone about Zara.
We're given
that clearly is something right over there
at all. So this whole time
it seems very simple.
With Abu Zara, Julia Beres, etc.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on here that you're
going to bring that up for all the wrong.
It would seem like you're
me. It's a drush. When it says Osiya Zavu Vestorasi Lo Shamaru, that's where the Darshan is from. There was nothing in the Mi'amalays, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it doesn't say it specifically.
You seem here to say, like, all right, guys, you gotta address this.
There was a mushel over here. I skipped this mushel because I didn't think there was going to be shy, but here. A father married off his only daughter to someone after first stipulating with the husband that he should always be careful to honor and respect her. But the husband did not fulfill the father's proviso, began to mistreat and abuse his wife. Hearing this, the father said, if only you would forsake me, take better care of my daughter, I can endure the personal suffering, but I can't bear seeing my daughter suffer. The Torah obviously is the daughter of God that he gave it to them for them to study and to keep. But when they began to neglect it, that was worse than anything else. They're abusing my daughter. They're abusing that. Me, I could handle. Your parents, I could handle the fact that they did a Bodhisattva. But this was the final straw. I wasn't able to take it anymore. That was the line behind it. Let's finish it off. Therefore, you did more evil than your fathers. You're doing after your own taivas, doing whatever the heck you want, not listening to me. Therefore, I'm going to move you away from this land to a land you don't know, that you or your fathers didn't know. You'll be able to serve there your other God day and night. For I am going to show you no favor anymore. Yeah, what are you going to say now?
They won't show you any favor. Meaning you can go worship those idols and
Hashem is saying, I will not show you any favor. That's what I'm not going to be able to do.
And the question was in the last one, when he used a reply, when they said their fathers did worship the Lord of Zara, nothing happened. Was it that their fathers worshiped the Lord of Zara, but it was because their
Yitzhar overtook them and they worshiped Avodah Zarah, but they still kept the Torah.
Yeah.
You guys, you wouldn't have
forsook the Torah together with them.
Rosh Hashanah with the Torah.
Good.
Should that be it?
Yeah, there should be another word. Yeah, there should be another word.
That's
stuff like that.
But if you want to give commentary, maybe you can find some.
The question is why they're worse than the fathers.
About the fathers.
What are they doing more than the fathers themselves? What are they doing more? And that's the question. What did they do that's worse? And they're all doing a Avodah Zarah.
No,
so what's the difference? So it must be they're doing something worse. So what was it? And this muscle was the idea that it was Torah.
This is because of your fathers. Yeah. Meaning because your fathers forsook me and they follow other gods, all this was because of this.
Atem hare osem lasos me'avoseichem. That's in Pasuk Yud Beis. You've done worse than your fathers. Being come holken yishach reish rius libo hara levilti shmoy line. You're not listening to me anymore. That's what's worse.
There's a vast difference between them and their fathers. For their fathers had forgotten the Torah completely and committed all these sins because they did not know the Torah. They were like children captured by Gentiles who knew nothing of
Torah. But according to that, and who is that? That's the Malbim?
That is the Malbim, yeah.
Okay, I understand that, but that should make them better, right? I don't see how that works into the text, which says clearly they're worse than their fathers.
I think that's what it's saying. It's saying that the fathers did not know. There's a vast difference between them and their fathers.
Yeah, go ahead.
For their fathers had forgotten the Torah completely and committed all these sins because they did not know the Torah.
Oh,
they were like children.
Oh, that's correct.
Day. Oh, maybe
that's crazy.
Maybe it's
wrong. Wait, what were you going to say?
That's actually correct in history because when we go through the kings, Torah was brought back in.
Yoshua.
And Manasseh
also
brought everybody to Manasseh had done the verse, he pushed everyone away.
But then he brought everybody back.
But the next generation already, he brought himself back. He brought everybody back.
To me, it also seems
maybe the generation that grew up during Manasseh, they didn't know anything.
Yeah, they might have been ignorant.
The next generation,
they learned
from Yoshua.
Let's remember also, this may only be Anasos. This could be the people of Anasos specifically, and not the people of all of Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but it seems like the destroyed faith of Yoshua, the people of Anasos, they led the way for all.
Or no, this is why they specifically are going to be destroyed, and the people of Anasos are going to be destroyed because of this. Maybe that's specifically
well, just remember,
for them.
Well,
again, Eretz Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael, right, is because of Birkas HaTorah, there was no Birkas HaTorah. Anasos might be specific with the Malbim the same. See, it depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking at it as a global thing, which it doesn't seem to be, if it's a global thing, right, then you have to darshan it's because of Birkas HaTorah, you have to get out to something. Why were you worse? According to the way, if you look at Anasos, yes, there could be an individual city. Even if it, I don't think it's microcosmic. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Remember, Yirmi was allowed to go to other cities and get married and have kids. He just couldn't do it in Anasos. Right? So it seems like Anasos was worse than everybody else.
I think you're making, by calling it just Birkas HaTorah, it's almost like
you're trivializing the
the whole point. That's like we shouldn't
have you walk into death row and like, oh, this guy, serial killer, murdered this guy, a horrible person, this guy didn't say Birkas HaTorah.
But that's exactly it. So you look at him, you're like, wait, he only did that? And you say, you don't understand. Not saying Birkas HaTorah allowed him to be mevazeh of the Torah completely.
I don't.
And on his level, for what he was, that person was worse than that murderer.
I'm going to point and say that I think that the Gemara said, I'm going
to
say that they're right, but it's probably, we're probably misunderstanding it. There's probably more to it than just
but that's the point. That's what I'm trying to say. You guys, I'm not saying
you gotta really
wasn't, I keep
better.
Saying
have
it.
Do you have any problems communicating?
No, I have a tape here. We can go back on the tape and hear it. I've been saying the exact same thing the whole time. It's the fact that they're not treating it with the respect that the Torah deserves.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
That's the idea.
Because they're not treating the Torah respectfully. That's why it happened. Let's go on.
Thank you, David. I would have gone a little bit more. It would have been a little bit more to the front. All right, here we go. Lefain, in a yummy body.
Yeah, Hashav was rewarded with four generations, and he was king for a long time because he respected
the Torah. That was interesting. Not only the Torah, it's because they didn't speak Lashon Hara, and they were not against one another.
Yeah, but
that was the line
that
Gemara said.
That he didn't,
not the Pesukim.
This is the same about the Torah.
The Gemara asked why Akka was successful in war, and it says because they never spoke Lashon Hara. That was why. Yes, it does. Because nobody, when Ovadiah got up and said, I've been hiding the 100 Nevi'im, right? Nobody told Akav about it. So the Gemara says, how could nobody have told Akav about it? How could Akav never have heard that there were 100 Nevi'im being there was food that had to be sent to them. Food every
single day. How could no one? That means there were tons of people in on the conspiracy, and yet no one told Akav. That means no one spoke Lashon Hara. He was killing Talmidei Chachamim, but they didn't speak Lashon Hara. Therefore, the generation won at war.
No,
that was the line they said about.
Where is the source for that Akav respected the Torah? Is there a pasuk that refers to that?
No, but also Migdal Bavel.
So that's funny. Remember toward the end of Akav, there were those psukim that were so weird. It was only because of Izebel that he ended up messing up.
Izebel's way worse than he is.
She wasn't Jewish. I mean, she wasn't Jewish.
Them over.
Yeah.
I say, but we also learned Dor HaMabul got wiped out because they weren't good to each other.
Yeah.
But Dor HaPlaga.
Right. They were lived. Because of the axis.
Yeah.
100%. Pasuk Yud Dal. Lachem Ine Yamin Bom Nu Hashem. Therefore, days are coming. No longer will you say, by the living God that took us out of Egypt. You know what you're going to say? Kim Chai Hashem Asher Helos Bnei Tzomer Tzafon. By the life of God that took us out of the land of the north. Mikol Eretz Yechem Shama. And from all the lands that we were taken out there. And I returned them back to the land that I've given over to their fathers. Now, I will say, it is a little bit weird. This cannot be referring to when they left Babel. The reason why is because we don't have a chag celebrating when we came back from Babel. There is no such chag.
Well, not everybody can.
And we also, exactly. So this can't be referring to when he came back. We don't have that. There is going to be a time where we're no longer saying, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. We're going to be saying, Zecher Litzias Edo. There will be a time that way, but we haven't gotten to it yet. It's not there, and the raya is, we don't have this. We don't do it.
We don't say
I guess everyone.
Zecher Litzias Parasim Adai.
What?
We don't say that either.
No, we don't say. Of course, we didn't leave.
Really.
Parts of Mother, we never left.
Right.
Right? But you should say Yitzias Bavo, but we didn't. Must be that this reference that Jeremy is talking about is only Lasuk Bavo.
No, but it's simple. None of the other ones, except for me, time, did we all leave?
I get it.
That's
not necessarily true.
Yeah?
That's not necessarily true either.
Which one?
There wasn't a complete. There were people left who stayed in the shrine.
No, the guys.
Nobody was alive?
Not that we know of. Dustin and Abdirin were the only two, according to the Medrash.
They
left Paro, and eventually they left. But Amar Paro, Yonis and Luzio, it's Tanoyah, so we're dealing with the Gemara. But Amar Paro lived in Yisrael. Paro said to Bnei Yisrael, so we translate it as about Bnei Yisrael. Talking as Luzio says, he said it to Nadav and Abihu. Dustin and Abiram.
Why would they stick around?
Remember, they were the Meraglim in the first place with Moshe Rabbeinu. They had a connection to Paro. What their connection was interesting. According to the Ermayim Chaim, crazy Chassidus Sefer, says they had their own Kriyat Yamsuf. There were 13 splits. Twelve for the 12 Shvatim, and a 13th for Dustin and Avira.
Unreal
Ermayim Chaim. He has a whole piece of like 3 pages. I gave the shir on it 3 years ago. I gave a share on it 3 years ago. Yeah. Hini Sholeach Ladyogin. Behold, I was sent for fishermen. Robin Numashem. Many, many fishermen over here. The Digum. They're going to fish. Abakrachain Ashlach Larabim Sayodim. Afterward, I'm going to send out many hunters. The Sodum. Melchor, Melchor, Givom, meaning Kikiat Slain from all the mountains and from on the hills and from all the crests of the rock. In other words, rock. They're not only going to invade Bnei Yisrael. They are literally going to search after every single person that's left. And they're going to find every single person that they could possibly get. That's the idea behind it. Those two forms, the fishermen and the game hunters, are two forms of death that are being prophesied for Bnei Yisrael. The fishermen are the ones who their prey, they immediately suffocate, right? That they suffocate all at once. That's the swordsmen who come in and kill their foe immediately. Afterward, the hunters, they trap their prey and kill it a little bit later. That's the one who takes them into exile with them and kill them later on when they're in exile. That's what's going to be over here, and that's what's going to happen to them. My eyes are on all of their ways. There is nothing they can hide in front of me. None of their sins can be hidden from me, and that's the obvious thing, right? I am first going to pay them back for their double sin, the chatasam, and their accidental sin. Because they were makalo my land, they profaned my land by the nevelas of their disgustingness, referring to Avodah Zarah, right? And all of their abominations have filled up all of my nachos, and they're all around everything. So that's the idea behind it. In other words, it's going to be just as bad as what the Canaanim had over here. Pasuk Yutat. Hashem Uzima Uzi, Hashem is my strength, my stronghold. Uzi, He is my refuge, Biyom Tzarah, at the time of pain. Hey, Lecha Goyim Yavo, the nations will come to you, Master Artists from the ends of the land. Yomru Ach Shaker Nakalu Abo Sechem. And they will say that our fathers have given to us just lies. Hevel, the Embomo, emptiness, things of absolutely no value. That's the idea behind it. At those days, the nations are going to say to everybody else, they're going to realize, oh my gosh, all these idols are absolutely nothing. Should a man make idols for himself if they themselves are not idols? Right? How could that be? And that's the idea behind it. There's no real wrath that he needs to have in them. I'm telling him at this time, I'm going to let them know about my hand and my strength. They will know that my name is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's the idea behind it. The hand over here is referring to afflictions. We sort of say that in the Seder when we say the Yad HaGedola. Right? That's the afflictions. And the Gvura is referring to the acts of God, which show that He's a mice beyond anything else in the world.
The line that He says in Pulp Fiction?
No.
Right?
Ezekiel 25:17.
Oh, that's... he knows it.
Yeah. It's 25 or 29.
Well, I think you're right.
It's 25:17.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We'll get to it. And furious anger.
I will bring out my hand in wrath and furious anger,
and you will know that I am the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
It's so sick. I'm telling you. It's unbelievable.
What's that?
It's unbelievable.
Great movie.
When did I see Pulp Fiction? 1995?
It's totally a great movie.
95.
That line was amazing. 20
years ago.
20 years ago.
Actually, he never saw it.
Who did it? You're me.
You.
I never
saw it.
That's nice. That's really, really good.
Well, we're talking about Torah.
No, we're talking about Torah. It could be a Baltuva. I'm okay with being a Baltuva. Oh. It's still there. It's not even footage when you asked me that.
I didn't know that you saw the movie. That's so funny.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
I assume you saw it.
Chatzis Yehuda, Ksuba Be'ed Barzel, the sin of Yehuda is written with a pen of iron. B'tziporin Shamir, with a... Just saw that.
Yeah.
With a diamond stylus.
The heart stone upon which the sins are engraved, a tablet of the heart.
Now we know how to cut the stones for the base of Migdal.
Yeah,
diamond. Was a diamond.
It is interesting.
You can't use metal.
That's true.
I always thought that it had to be something like a diamond, but Chazal don't say it that way. It's strange. Chazal say that it's clearly a worm. So what's the pshat? Now you have to understand a little bit better. So what's the pshat that the measure refers to a Shamir's worm?
They might have.
How did that make any
sense? Maybe the worm is named after the diamond because it's built.
No, but the Gemara clearly says that the Shamir worm, like the Shamir was something that.
What does it mean that the diamond is a diamond drill is a worm?
Yeah. Why would Chazal even mention that as a measure? I mean, that takes more work.
What's the measures with the chickens and the
that's the Gemara in
the chicken feet and the cat.
Right? No. When Hashem, the king of the demons, they were trapping him in order to figure out where the Shamir worm was, and they end up finding out that it was given over to the Sar Shel Yam, and the Sar Shel Yam lends it to the Tarnagolis Bara, right? The Tur Nagra is what it's called, right? And this type of wild rufo bird of some sort.
Where did this
right? That it's up in mountains, and he used it to be able to make holes in the clefts of the rock, and then the old Ben Yoda got it back. I don't know, but like that takes more work. I'm even more upset now.
But it would make sense
that
the worm was named after a diamond.
Did anybody say on the bottom in Rashi in the Rishonim? What does it say? What's the wording in Rashi? I don't have the Rashi on there.
Why are we
new? What do you have? I don't see anything over here. But 8 hours.
You're saying there should be an answer that it's just diamond. The worm is a medrash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the point is, what does the medrash mean? That's the whole point.
Yeah,
why mention it that way? It's interesting. Targum Yerushalmi, Sur Chalamish, is translated as Shamir Tinara.
It's a hard stone that cuts through other stones.
And that makes sense. Right. Through a dock. That makes the most sense.
Right. Well, we know that.
Maybe it's a different type of Shamir. Yeah, it's a Puskin Yechetzko, Gimel Tash.
But it was
Shamir Chazak. Oh, but that's not a riot. Shamir Chazak Mitzur. A Shamir is stronger than a rock. But that could actually be referring to the actual Shamir. All right, let's do a little bit.
That would make sense, though, that it could have been they used a diamond to cut the stones for the base to make this.
Yes, yes, and no.
They scored it. Correct.
From what Chazal say, it doesn't seem that way, and that takes work. Why? Why does it say it? If this could be an easy answer, Harusha Luach Libam, it's engraved on the tablet of their hearts, Lekarnos Mizbuch Hashem, and on the corners of their mizbeach. That's the idea behind it. It's got to be on there. It seems a pen obviously is able to get to the surface of the paper, but it's not able to scratch all the way through. A stylus can go all the way through, and that's the idea.
Well, this stylus is only going to go through a pen. A pen can go deeper than a stylus.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that was interesting. But the point is that B'nai Yisrael, their sins were so deep. At first, it was just touching the outside, but then it got even worse. It was mamish inside. They sinned overtly and covertly. They were both. Kiskor B'nai Mizbechosam, as they remember their children, Mizbechosam Asheram, they also remember the Mizbechos and their Asherah trees, Alitzuanon, all the shady trees, Agvos Agvos, and all the high up mountains and everything like that. That Targum Yonason says that the custom, right, by back then, was to put pictures of the Gagat, I don't know what this is, Ashtarosha.
Where do they put the picture?
Ashtoris, whatever it is, Astartes, he said, on certain trees to indicate that the trees were sacred to her. I don't think it's Aphrodite. Astartes,
right?
I don't know. I don't know. Asherah tree.
Oh, wait. Yeah. This isn't kind of near me. There was no Aphrodite.
Maybe they did that. I didn't know the Asherah tree was connected to a goddess by the name of Asherites. I don't know what that is. Hariba Soda Chilko. On mountain dwellers that are out in the field, Harib Kol Tosecha, that's all your wealth, and Kol Tosecha Lavaz will be spoiled. Atain Bamosecha. I'm going to give it over to Atain. I'm going to give it over to those enemies. Bamosecha Bechatas Bechol Gulacha. Your altars of sin are found throughout all of your borders and everything like that. What are you going to say?
Rabat says Eitranan is the Asherah.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just, I had never heard of Asterites. You know, who is that? What is that referring to? Anyway, B'shamatita Ubamin Achlasecha. B'shamatita, you will be stopped from working. B'chamin Achlasecha and Asapilach. For all of your Nachlav you had, B'abaratichas Oibecha, I will cause you to serve enemies. B'aretz Shalidach, in a land that you do not know. Ke'esh Kedaka B'api, because you have kindled a fire in my wrath, ad olam tukad, it's going to burn forever and ever. This seems to be that shamatita is because they did not keep the Shemitah properly. And because they didn't keep Shemitah properly, that's why they're being punished. Kol Mar Hashem, Arura Gever Shemitah Ba'adam, cursed is the man that trusts in man. Some busters ro'o, and puts flesh as his arm. In other words, that's the way he's going to defeat others. Min Hashem Yasru Libo, and his heart departs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayakar Ar Ba'arava, like a lone tree in the desert. He will not see Kiyavo Tov, that the good comes. The Shokhan Charirim Bamidbor, Eretz Melech Avalos Hashed, right? He's going to inhabit all the parched lands in the desert. A salt land, a land filled with salt that cannot be inhabited. And we'll say in Pasuk Zion, we'll end with this. Blessed is the person that trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he hopes for everything. His trust is put only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not more than anything else. That's the idea behind it. A wicked person who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, has the possibility of being aided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as reward for everything that he is aware of and for what he's been doing. And that's the idea. A person who does put their trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be rewarded for all that goodness.